This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Well, God, it was like the heavens were brass. God never answered her prayer until one day she's in the temple and she says, and old Eli, the big old fat high priest, is there looking at her. She's moving her mouth, but she's not making any sounds. And he said, "What are you doing? You're drunk over there, lady." "Oh, no," she said. "I'm not drunk. I'm just in desperation. I'm telling God, oh, God, if you'll just give me a child, I'll bring him back to the temple. I'll give him to you to raise, Mr. High Priest. I will give him back to God." Well, when she said that, God said, "Bingo, you got your son." And the reason that God waited and waited and waited was not because he couldn't have done it sooner, but he waited because she only wanted a baby, but God needed a prophet. And thus was Samuel born. That's called legacy, folks.
My word, is that legacy.
When you see the hand of God even in Abraham's life, legacy. The Lord woke me up one morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, and took me through the whole Bible and showed me legacy on a scale that's mind-boggling. Rhett, did you know that the Temple Mount is the same place that Abraham offered up Isaac?
I that's what I always believed.
Well, that's what the Bible makes that clear. But did you also know that when the 70,000 people were being killed because David numbered the people, God says, "I've stopped the angel at Ornan's threshing floor. And if you'll go make a sacrifice there, you know," and God did that because he needed that land. The same place that Ornan had his threshing floor is the same place that David walks up to Ornan one day and says, "I got to have your plows. I'm going to turn them into firewood. I've got to have your oxen. I'm going to burn them. I'm going to sacrifice them to God." And David made this tremendous plan to sacrifice to God. And Ornan said, "Look, just take my plows. What's this among kings? Because I'm a very wealthy man and you're the king, David. Just use the land." "No, I've got to buy it. I've got to buy it." Because God needed that land to be in his name, in the children of Israel's name. And that legacy goes on this order. You know, Jesus is going to sit on the throne of David. And the Temple Mount is the same place Abraham offered up Isaac, the same place that David stopped the plague. And it's the same place that the Mosque of the Omar is built on there today. And that's the most valuable real estate in the whole world. But legacy says, when David said to God, "I want to build you a temple, I'm going to build you a temple," God says, "No, you can't build me a temple, but I'm going to build you a house, David," because the house that God was going to build for David was going to be a 2,000-year legacy, because one day Jesus is coming back, going to sit on the throne of David.
Well, most people don't know, too, that it was prophesied long ago that we would know who the Messiah was because he would come through the house of David. That's why we have those chapters that go, when I was a kid, I'd pick up the Bible long before I ever believed in Jesus, and it would be this one begat this, and Joe begat Bill, and Bill begat Tommy, and Tommy this, and Bill begat and begat, 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 and I go, "Oh, what's that?" And you turn it down, and go, "What is this boring stuff? Why are they doing this?" Well, you find out later in life, it's because God had promised that the Messiah would come through the lineage of King David, and it can't be refuted because both Joseph and Mary come from the lineage of King David.
That's right. You hit the nail on the head. And that's why this rapture is so important, because in the final analysis, if what Jesus said is true, he said that as it was in the days of Noah,
buying and selling.
Satan's going to be messing with the DNA of mankind to make hybrids again, but he can't do it with fallen angels, because all you get with fallen angels are big giants, and nobody's going to follow somebody who's got big giants all over the place.
Let me ask you this. Do you think when we truly get born again, you know, there are people that go to church as a perfunctory duty, and there's some people that don't even go to a church, and yet they have Jesus in their heart. Now, each man has to know for himself. Jesus said, make sure ye are born from above. You are born once of your mother. You must be born of the flesh, but you must be born of the Spirit. Now, do you think at the moment that I was born again, and if you're truly born again, you know there's been some sort of a conversion, a light turns on, you go into a different world, that the DNA actually, if they could check my blood and knew how to, is the DNA of Jesus running in Rhett Palmer's bloodline?
Not technically. I don't believe that's technically correct. But let me tell you this. You said the right words when you said the light turned on, because in John chapter 1, it says, Jesus is the light that lighteth every man that comes into the world. And in Luke and also Matthew, it says that if the light that is in you is darkness, how great that darkness. So every man's born into the world with, Billy Graham said, a God-sized hole. But the Bible says every man's born into the world with the light of God in him. And God's getting ready to turn the light on. Look, when man sinned in the garden, the light went out. And he found himself naked because he didn't have the glory around him. So he could see his wife's naked body for the first time. He never saw her body before. He just saw her. She was like a bright light bulb, you know, and he was like a great big bright light bulb. The same way that when Moses went up on the mountain, he had to put a basket over his head because the brilliance coming, shining from his head that was not covered, everything else was covered, was blinding people. Well, when Christ came into my life, Christ came into your life, he flicked your bit. He turned the light that was darkness. He turned it on, and you became born again. Well, when we're changed in a moment, a twinkling of an eye, that our clothes are going to fall off, and the brightness of God's glory will shine out of us. We're going to be running across the area where the rapture is taking place, running into that chariot or whatever, or however God does it. But the main thing is we're going to be filled with the glory of God. We won't need clothes. We'll be clothed in righteousness. And that's what's so exciting to me about the rapture. The dead in Christ will rise first. We which are alive and remain will be caught up together with the Lord to ever be with the Lord. And this is such a glorious event that's going to take place one day. And Satan's going to write it off by saying, there's a lot of dead bodies around this area, because in Luke 17, he says, Jesus said, one shall be taken and the other left. Two will be in the field. One shall be taken and the other left. If you're in the top of your house, don't go back down into your house. That doesn't sound like poop and we're gone. But one shall be taken. And the disciples said, Luke 17, everybody listening today and watching this, read Luke 17. The very last verse of Luke 17, when he said, one shall be taken to the other left, the disciples said, taken where, Lord? And he said, where the dead bodies are, there will the eagles be gathered. And nobody ever addresses that. But the Lord showed me in a vision. He showed me when he caught me up in the spirit. He showed me in a trance. I was in a trance, folks. I don't know how to describe it. My spirit didn't leave my body, but it felt like I was caught up. And my eyes were closed, and I was seeing more with my eyes closed than I've ever seen in my life. But when that experience happened to me, I saw clearly that we are going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and we're going to put our natural bodies going to put on incorruption. The spirit man is going to be vibrating inside of us, just like John G. Lake had lightnings and flashings in his soul. We're going to be caught up with the Lord, and we're going to be in a new body, a physical body that can walk through walls. And we're going to be going up to heaven to be taught of the Lord 3.5 years, and then we're going to come back and start ruling and reigning even before the tribulation is over.
You know, I want people to know, though, they don't know you, but I know you. We went to Africa together. over 30 years ago. You have 9 children. You have 26 grandchildren. Charles Bennett is a good father, and he would not make something like this up. You know, there's so many liars out there. You know, I may be a sinner, but at least I own up to the fact that I'm a sinner and I've gone my own way many times. But I too see, but you know, people, like these characters that are on midnight radio sometimes, you got to watch out because all they want is your money. This one guy that makes $1 billion a year by selling his vitamins, and he's got that guy, and he wants to stir up everything politically because he makes money doing it. But anyway, there's a lot of phonies out there. Watch out.
But your children, Brett, know you.
Let me tell you,
the biggest testimony of my life, and you know this to be true.
Yeah.
All my children are serving the Lord. That is something that boggles my wife and my mind, because we weren't pastoring a great big church. God didn't let me pastor a big church. If I had, about, I put that church before my family. We never put the ministry before our family. We took our kids to the mission field. You're aware of that. And you saw the hand of God on all of our children's lives. Well, if I was a phony, folks, my children would not be following the God I've
here's the thing. It's I don't know why God does what he does, you know, and but he's protected you by giving you a small church. Look, I wanted to be a country music star. And after I left our friendship, I think it was after that, wasn't it, that I went to Nashville? Yeah, it was after that I went to Nashville, right? And I was almost signed to Liberty Records. And wow. At the last minute, the guy pulled out his $500,000 and said, no, I'm not going to back him. I'm going to go into this other business, whatever. He was the former CEO president of U.S. Tobacco. It doesn't really matter the details, but anyway.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is a new day.
Today's broadcast is supported by Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie. Thanks to Dr. Alex Plain at Plains Dental Arts for keeping New Day with Rhett Palmer on the air daily at WCNO 89.9 FM.
Hey everybody, I'm Charlie Kirk. I'm excited to invite you to the Believers Summit in West Palm Beach, Florida this July 26, 27, 28. The summit is more than an event. It is a mission to empower Christians across America to stand courageously for truth. Join us for an inspiring lineup of speakers, including Jensen Franklin, Ali Stuckey, Frank Turek, John Amanchuku, and so much more. We'll provide you with the practical knowledge and strategies to boldly live your faith with grace and conviction, deeply rooted in the gospel. Register now at tpusafaith.com/believers. I'll see you there.
Those the child.